Coffee Conversations with Cinti is brought to you by influencer marketing specialists, The Salt, inspiring positive brand conversations.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Coffee Conversations with Cinti. And in this series, we talk all things influencer marketing. And to cap it off, we enjoy a great cup of coffee. And today I've got a special guest as usual. All my guests are special. Jared, welcome to it.
Thank you very much.
Jared is from Media Shop. You guys call yourselves the digital experts of the decade. What's that all about?
That's right. So obviously, I think most importantly, we've obviously won Decade of the Agency of the Decade Award.
Whoa, that's huge.
Yes. So, and I think it's a really important one for us.
All right.
But more so, I think we've come across as more of an integrated agency.
Okay.
And more of an integrated approach to digital and above the line and integration across the board.
Okay.
In offering a full service media solution for our clients.
Okay, and obviously that has got a huge impact on the results that you get at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So in your view, what is influencer marketing? Because that's basically why we're here today.
So influencer marketing to me, I think kind of going back, so I've been in the industry for about 9 years.
All right.
And specifically from a digital media perspective.
Okay.
I'd say probably 3 years into my 9 year stint, I noticed obviously Webfluential did pop up.
All right.
And Webfluential was one of the first that I knew of in terms of influencer marketing.
All right.
And when I thought of influencer marketing, I couldn't understand it myself. And so,
okay. So
I kind of associated it to macro influencer marketing,
whereas
we were using heavyweight influencers to kind of sell our brand for us.
All right.
Or to promote the benefits of our brand for us.
Okay.
And so the likes of a big kind of popular role model who everyone aspires to would obviously on-sell our brand.
Yeah.
So that's what I saw it as initially. But as I learned more and more about influencer marketing, obviously, and as the trend has obviously changed, it's become about micro-influencers and using influencers that have more of a kind of a trusted loyalty with their fan base.
Right. And obviously a smaller fan base to increase your impact. It's
absolutely
not a shotgun approach to marketing, is
exactly
it? So speaking of those changes, have you seen any growth in terms of the phenomenon?
Definitely. I think influencer marketing is definitely on the rise. And I think it's most important to kind of think back to 6 years ago versus today. I mean, there's so many different global players in the market that have brought influencer solutions to the market, and that just goes to show that it is on the rise. Obviously, the marketers are kind of adapting to it. And also, I think with the likes of ad blocking currently within digital media, it gives us something to counteract that. So how do we go about offering our clients a solution to sell their product or the benefits of the product by not only putting out digital, for example, a digital display, but how do we counteract ad blocking through using influencers and their recommendations?
All right. It seems like there's a lot of impediments to brand messaging getting across to a wide market or to a market and sticking. I remember there's a time a message bottle used to be the only modus operandi in terms of communication, and then you had your traditional mediums. But it looks like brand messaging and getting across has really tanked over the years. Where do you rank influencer marketing in relation to your traditional mediums?
I think, obviously, I think at this stage they work hand in hand.
But all right.
I think we need to remember that they fulfill different objectives.
Roles,
All roles.
Yeah.
Obviously, TV is a mass reach platform.
Yeah.
Digital is, I mean, it's all encompassing. I mean, we could drive traffic in store, or we could influence someone to make a purchase online.
Yeah.
And so, yes, they do have different roles, but I think the main thing for me would kind of be to where does influencer marketing fit into the conversion funnel, essentially?
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Yes, we might.
That was going to be my next question.
So it's more about, yes, we might have mass reach or incremental reach, but how do we then tell a story through the likes of influencers to kind of gain their loyalty to the brand?
Because that's the currency you're looking for at the end of the day, isn't
yes,
it? Yeah,
yes.
That conversion from your awareness right up to the sale. It's always about the sale, isn't
it? Yes.
And then what one opportunity do you think influencer marketing brings to the table that marketers are overlooking?
I think if I must be honest, there are quite a few.
Please be very honest. Yeah.
I think there are quite a few. So firstly, when we look at influencers, obviously the authentic content around brand is vital. Most of the time, from a brand perspective, we push our product and price to try and sell a product. And yes, there are additional benefits in terms of big ideas and how it resonates with the audience.
All
but
right.
at the end of the day, authentic content coming from trusted sources is a lot more relevant to me as a consumer because I already have some kind of alignment and involvement with someone I trust.
Yeah, and you can actually call that natural alignment and involvement.
Agreed.
Yeah, it really doesn't take a lot to align yourself to that messaging, does it?
Mm.
Yeah.
And I think also if I look at the content that they produce, we get a lot more leverage out of it. So also when they produce this content, we can use it on other channels that can expand and can leverage that content into other spaces.
And obviously that elongates the lifespan of your brand messaging, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. And speaking of any changes, what other threats do you think are there to the phenomenon of influencer marketing that are coming out in the space?
I think, like I said, with the launch of a lot of the global partners in the South African economy, in terms of media spend and what they bring to market, I think the biggest issue is a lot of the influencer marketing agencies aren't really differentiating themselves at the moment.
Okay.
And I think it could impact marketers or brands or agencies and brands in terms of selection of who do we go with and who's the most trusted source to fulfill our objective.
Okay.
And I think that's the biggest concern for me, is that there's no differentiation. So is it the tech from one brand selling influencers, is it the actual numbers that they have behind their fan base? Those fan bases trusted? Are they from South Africa, or are they global fans, for example, who we shouldn't be talking to?
Yeah, I guess with growth in any industry and space, you will come across such problems, and that's quite scary. So how does a brand then identify the perfect agency to work with in a space like that?
I think it's about understanding the key differentiation between all of them, even they don't differentiate themselves.
Yeah, and they are seemingly all...
They're all very similar.
Yeah.
And I think if I had to look at it realistically, I think it needs to be a test on each of them.
All right.
So I've been lucky enough to work with brands that have allowed me to test.
Okay.
And across 4 or 5 or 6 platforms, I've looked at what are the differences between them. Is it the tech? Is it the creative solution that the influencers are drafting for us? Is it the account management from a agency perspective? So there's a lot that goes behind it. I mean, relationship is obviously key, and price is also definitely key for clients at the end of the day.
Let's look at the demand profile of influencer marketing. You are an agency. Have you seen an increase in clients asking for influencer marketing by name? I've heard of campaigns where clients will be like, what's your objective? They'll be like, we want everybody to ask for a product by name. Are clients asking for influencer marketing? Are they educated enough, or you think there's still more to be done?
I think there's always going to be more to be
done. Yeah, of course,
As there is with TV and as there is with radio, for example, we keep educating clients as we go.
Yeah.
With influencer marketing, some clients do ask for it by name.
Okay, some.
Yeah.
All right.
Obviously, the clients that are spending more and that have more involvement in their digital spend.
All right.
And obviously, the full outcome of what influencer marketing can do for them. That's where they'll have a bigger involvement.
All right.
And I think the biggest issue that I'm kind of seeing is that if we leave it off the schedule, it leaves a portion of the conversion funnel when we're trying to drive.
It does feel like there's something that's missing.
Absolutely.
There. Oh, okay. Are you happy though with the progress, or like you're saying, obviously there is always room to progress.
Definitely, I think obviously there's a lot of growth, and I think a lot more spend will start being allocated toward it.
And being funneled through.
It's more of an education process and an ongoing education.
Okay. And in your experiences, what are the pros and cons of influencer marketing that you've obviously come across?
Yeah. So I think. The biggest pro is
I like the part where you spoke about, you know, sometimes you really need to get in there and test it first.
Yeah.
Yeah, before. So what sort of pros and cons have you?
So I think let's start with cons. Like I said, obviously there's no real differentiation, and I think reporting is kind of a con for me at the moment.
All right. Okay.
A lot of the guys obviously sell opportunities to see, which means we're buying into 10 different influencers, for example, on multiple channels or social media channels, and they might have 1,000 fans each. That means we have the opportunity to reach those
to
fans.
Reach,
But there's not necessarily an actual KPI behind it. Which is quite frustrating from a brand and an agency perspective.
Yeah, because you're looking for straight KPIs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that engagement is the right KPI, because I think engagement comes from content, and good content will get the right reach.
Yeah.
And reach will obviously drive the engagement. But
yeah.
I think that the biggest con for me is the reporting and making sure that those fans of the influencers are local and not from other countries.
From other countries, yeah. I hope agencies are taking notes. And do you think influencer marketing will become traditional at some point?
At this stage, I think it's been out in the market for quite a while.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think it's going to become traditional as yet.
Yes,
As with digital, digital is still digital, and it's going to be like that for a while. I think it will start evolving to become traditional, become integrated into traditional. Where we use micro-influencers who have 10,000 fans or less, how do we start utilizing them in our TV ads so that it starts resonating with our audience, so that they get a 360 kind of approach?
Yeah, I think integration is going to continue to be very big within that space as well. Yeah, and the future, what do you think it holds for influencer marketing?
It's a bit of a tough one, I think.
Of course it is.
Thinking so far ahead, especially when it's quite a new channel, and I think obviously clients are taking to it now.
Yeah.
But I think it's what are the kind of nitty-gritty bits that we need to think about? So from a digital media perspective, we are buying programmatically, for example, to sell specific products online.
All right.
Are we going to move to programmatic buying of influencers to deliver at mass scale?
Okay.
Is that a possibility?
All right.
And then also what I wanted to mention is kind of the rethinking of measurement and tracking.
Okay.
So I think the more that we educate clients and the more that we can put in place, the more clients will buy into it. So if we say it's not about opportunities to see, it's more about actual sales, and we can track those sales, then I think we can get client buy-in a lot easier.
Jared, thank you so much for joining me. What do you do at Media Shop?
I'm a digital media strategist.
All right, so you're the think tank.
Somewhat.
Behind the business growth.
That's correct.
And on weekends, what do you like to do?
Pretty much staying at home. I like housework. Not the cleaning part of it.
All right.
But just more kind of gardening and spending time with family as well. And that's pretty much it.
All right, Jared, ladies and gentlemen from the Media Shop, thank you so much for joining us. And if we can go out and enjoy a cup of coffee. For everybody else at home, in your cars, at the park, at your offices, thank you for joining us. Until next time, it's been great. We have to love and leave you.
Awesome, thank you.